You're listening to the Untitled Car Show in partnership with RightFootDown.com. Visit RightFootDown for your daily automotive fix. If you enjoyed today's program, please tell a friend. It's the best way to support this show. If you want to visit the archives, go to YouTube and search for Untitled Car Show. That'll bring you to the archived episodes. If you want to follow the show, just search for Untitled Car Show on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can always send an email to the show at untitledcarshow@rightfootdown.com. We're so glad you decided to spend the next hour or so with us. Without further ado, let's get into today's program. So hello and welcome to Untitled Car Show. So that's how that works. It's Everyone Racers. I think we got all four here. I guess sound off with our wonderful guest this evening. Well, I don't know who gets to go first. Why don't we go alphabetical? Oh, Have you guys figured that out?
Practice. We'll do a normal order. This is Chris.
This is Chrissy.
This is Jeff.
I'm Mental.
And we are Everyone Racers.
There we go.
That is not this podcast, but we are a guest on this podcast.
And we were discussing this before you got here, Ike, and we do want to know about this plumbing problem. We're fascinated. But we want to apologize to your listeners because we've been listening, and you keep a really nice – there's a really nice even kind of audio level that comes out of your podcast. It's, we were relating it to
Since the Delicious Dish
on NPR.
Yeah.
You don't find yourself reaching for the volume nearly as much as we do when we listen to our own show driving into work. You know, so there's a whole lot of – yeah, that's great. That's really good. Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So for all the racers all the folks that are listening, we're sorry. Buckle up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're Everyone Racers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try and take care of that. Thanks for the extra editing work. That's going to be fun. Basically the first 30 seconds should have given everyone listening kind of a good idea of what it is. It's four friends talking about crap, and then occasionally race stuff gets talked about as well.
Crap! Oh, no.
Hey, I think our crap to racing ratio is probably 40-60.
Oh, let's be fair.
Right.
Depending on the show.
Mm-hmm. And it's expensive crap. It's citrons and spices and
still not
Citroen. I'm from Georgia.
Yeah.
Ike, you're gonna have to work a lot harder. Just jump right in.
Yeah.
Whenever Mental is talking, you're just gonna have to say, "I got it." Back up, Mike.
Turn the video on your Skype if you have something to say on your own podcast. Put your hand up, and then we'll let you talk.
I'm more of the idea of I'm tired enough as it is. I'm just going to let this record for the next hour and see if y'all miss me.
we do have our show notes for our next topic, so if you're recording it, you'll save us a step. This will be great.
Yeah. So, but I'm curious, since we got a little lull here in the crazy, how did you all meet? Because there's a story behind that, as I understand. You all kind of met, like, randomly doing some racing, is my understanding?
I think Jeff can tell this story.
Yeah, sure, I could tell this. Back a long, long time ago, there was a crap can rally that was happening. It was earlier.
No, it was 06.
In 06, there was a crap can rally in the United States called the Babe Rally, the Big Apple to Big Easy Rally. And it was New York to New Orleans in a car that you buy for $500 or less, blah, 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 blah. Actually, $250. And steel was cheaper back then. So a bunch of people who had
inflation's
met...
a bitch.
Exactly. A bunch of people who had met on the Grassroots Motorsports board from the general New Jersey, Pennsylvania area all piled into a conversion van and tackled the event. I live not too far from the start, and my brother was doing it, and I couldn't get the week off. And as the van drove away, I said, "Come hell or high water, I'm there next year." And I think we added in later, and we started racing when the Lemons people put up the world's worst car on an essay contest, and one of our friends won it, and we started Lemons Racing, and we never looked back.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
It was 2000. It was 2009. A young H. John Benjamin was teaching us to laugh again with a show called Archer.
Or it was before that, but that's
okay. No.
The Wartburg was 09.
No, the Wartburg was 09. That's
the Wartburg was 09. Yeah, Jim and I did Babe Rally with Jim and Raph in 06. Jeff was jealous. In 07, we all did it again. And then Chrissy showed up with her team in 08. That's how Chrissy and I met. And Mental, we'd always kind of knew you through the GRM board, but you came and raced the Wartburg with us in 09. And continue
Dave
to
Dave in 2012.
Yep, and then you continue to make bad decisions.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when I'm done. He said combing his mustache.
There's that.
It's March. I told you it's March.
So weird.
Yes. Vicky hates it too. Vicky's my wife. She hates the mustache as well. My cadet gets hysterical.
So Ike, does that answer your question? Before we talk about Mental's mustache for
We're now something like 30 something Lemons races into this, and plus all kinds of other fun hangout things. And it's been years, and we continue to not hate each other. In fact, quite like each other. So, hey, why not?
Yeah, we might as well mention that our Lemons team, which also does AER and a few other things, is the Three Pedal Mafia. That is our Lemons team, and we have done some things that have gotten us some internet notoriety. Already mentioned was the Wartburg. We were part of that under a different team name with some other cast of characters. We've done a Rolls Royce. We've done the Lemons Boat. We've done the Citroën SM. We currently campaign, and I'm going to watch Chris's eyebrows, EF Civic Hatch.
And I might also add national, and we can cuss on your show, right?
National champions.
Hurry up, Jeff. Damn it.
And the world Su Hombre endurance racing truck.
Really? Is that so notoriety?
Notable? Yeah, I paused for that.
It's unique.
Okay.
We have some team hanger-ons who are a great part of us, but aren't part of the central cast of the podcast, including the RX 3.8, the Cressida, there's a couple of Mercedes down in the south. Mental has a crappy Datsun truck that ran once, and then he got rid of it.
Sold it.
Ran twice,
got rid of it. So,
almost
yeah.
Almost caught on fire, then blew up, yeah.
So we did finish last year's Lemons as national fucking champions.
National fucking champions.
Mental was going to try, which means that we brought more people and raced more cars than anyone.
We actually did okay, though, too.
We had a bunch
of top tens this year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and two or three top fives, right? We had a two, a four, and a four, I believe.
Yep.
That doesn't suck.
That is far from sucking.
And just to show that we're good sports, in 2 weeks, I'm racing with the team that was the second place national runners-up. Yeah, running with Tetanus down in New Orleans.
Cool.
Very nice. But we also build weird stuff. We have, I'm going to make a guess here, six IOEs between us. Well, I'm counting the ones you won with Speck.
Wartburg. Now we're up to like seven. But we have the Wartburg, the boat, the Rolls Royce, the boat Triumph together, and the Citroën. That's five just on our own. And I think we won two with Spank.
And again, a couple of class. You guys have won every class but A, right? No, you won A.
No, we never won A.
No, we haven't won A.
So we're looking for an A or an overall.
We won B with the Civic. Yep. We won C with the boat. And Spank and I won C with an Austin America. Twelfth overall in Austin America, and we won C, and we didn't.
You
get
Iron Man that. Although the one that won Iowa was pretty good. Though.
The Triumph also won C.
True. Yep.
And I believe
Cressida won B.
Cressida won B.
And so it's a lot of effort as far as the theming and the attitude and the approach to it. There's a lot of hard lessons, but also you're the four people on the screen plus Bruce and Darren. There's some driving talent on the team. There's some folks that can get a car around a racetrack pretty darn quick. In fact, the first weekend of the Lemons race, you were mentioning you bought an Audi motor from Speedy Cop sucker.
Yeah. But, oh no,
Chris.
I'm sorry.
Chris and Chrissy were running with Speedy Cop in a BMW at the opening race at Barber, and then Jeff got recruited into Burt One, which has also been a multiple race winning vehicle. Mm. So yeah, there's some wheelmanship on Three Pedal Mafia. Mm.
So we got your racer bona fides here. We got kind of your you're in this industry, this area, I guess is the way to put it. Why did you all decide to get together and do a podcast?
Chris, I'm going to defer that one to you.
Oh, I think mental.
I'll defer to mental in a minute, but it mostly has to do with alcohol. And mental making bad decisions. So I'll leave it to mental to keep
going. I think
going.
He thinks too much. I'm going to say that. Go ahead, mental.
Mm-hmm. No one has ever.
It's a long commute.
I do have a long commute. No, it was, and part of it is, it was a long commute, and I listening to you and listening to, and actually I'm now getting addicted to the Clear Coat podcast, and I've hung out with Farah and some of those other guys, and it's, you know, what's interesting about this great leveling of media is they're all, it's not a competitive environment. It's a, oh yeah, you should absolutely do this yourself. So I wanted to do a podcast, had no idea why, and finally, yeah, after some drinks one night, I texted Chris and Chrissy and said, hey, let's do a podcast. And they kind of rolled their eyes until a couple of nights later when they'd been drinking, and they called me, this is a great idea, but we can't do it without Jeff because, you know, we need, and they were absolutely right. I felt guilty immediately for not including Jeff. And the great thing about this is if you remember Sally Struthers, a few years ago, she used to do the advertisements for the correspondence courses. And Jeff sent away to Sally Struthers and got a degree in radio and broadcasting. So he's the one that actually kind of keeps this whole show on the rails.
Sort of.
Or sort of. Like, not really, though.
In the area of the rails. The rails are in the general area. I wouldn't say we're on the rail.
He says, I have all these strings and boards and things that can plug into other things, and I'm going to make this great. And then it's every week.
I have so many wires and knobs.
So many wires.
Is it a green wire? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? How loud is this? This happens every week, and we're on 29 episodes. That's true.
Jeff got a tube of mockery.
I have your tube of mockery back.
Oh, so the tube of mockery goes from the guy who had the idea for the show, first 5 episodes, would plug in his microphone, talk to it. It was still getting this horrible chamber sound. I literally built a box to sit on top of my desk so to try and get the acoustics, and I lined it with foam. And then finally, Chris goes, hey, go to your audio settings. Click on USB.
Hey, mental, you know what? Speaking of that, I think you should do that right now. I've actually, since you've played with your microphone right before we started, I'm not sure it's working as well as it should.
God, am I sounding?
You should hang up all of your.
You kind of do have a tube of mockery going on.
And I do have a tube
Jeff,
of mockery.
I like your tube of mockery. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, nope, I had the tube of mockery going because it's not coming through my headphones. See, there you go, right there, Ike. This is the professionalism.
Like I said,
this is the professionalism that the Everyone Racers brings to every episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you brought that up, why Everyone Racers? Where did that title come from?
We actually had a marketing meeting about that, an extended conceptual call. It was interesting because we all come from a
group. Also alcohol, too.
Also alcohol. We have a very varied background. I'm a retired military and a school teacher, and Chrissy is a professional safety. I know your title's in there, but she's got a lot of background. Jeff's in education. Chris is in insurance, but we all have some marketing experience, which is actually like the Three Pedal Mafia, how they came up with that name, because it had to meet certain qualifications because we all have professional jobs and we had to be able to mention that we did this in our professional location. So we had an extended thing. We kind of settled on the whole idea is this is not what we do for a living, racing cars. We're Joe average folks. Chris, you've got some input on that one.
Yeah, it was just, we thought we're not professionals. We don't plan. We don't anticipate being one like so many people that we see at amateur racers. I think there's an IMSA scout in the stands because
hey, they're there. I saw them.
That guy has a clipboard. He must
be a clipboard and he has a hat.
Right. We make no bones about it. We're just like everyone else, and we just like to go racing and having a good time with our friends, and that's what it's all about. So we're everyone, and we're racers. There we go. It doesn't make dramatics. We know that.
It that really bothers people. It's funny.
But it really lent itself to a pretty awesome sticker design, if I say so myself.
Yeah. So, Aika, one thing I also mentioned to you and your listeners is that, you know, we also decided that even though we are probably more lemons racing than everything else, that we were really going to try and keep it informational for the people who want to get into racing or motorsports in one way or shape or another. So, you know, we do news from the world of lemons and AER and some of the other major low buck racing, but we also talk about car setup for track days and how to cook meals at the racetrack and just how to pick a team. So we really try and mix like the information with the, you know, news from the world of low buck racing. Mm-hmm. Go, Chris.
All right, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
You know, Ike, you want to talk on your own show?
That's
like
fine,
I said,
fine.
If you had the video on, you can put your hand up and we'll know what you talk.
That's how we do things on this show, okay? It's... Oh, it's... I was going to pay you a compliment. When you listen to the show, there is a... I think kind of the chaos that's erupting here maybe has a bit to do with some imbibing going on here. But it's very well... I'm not going to say laid out, but there's a flow and a format to the episodes, at least that I've been listening to. And there's a lot of good information. And then there's, like, you know, the tech tip. And then there's, you know, the comedy aspect of it. I like the balance that you all managed to strike with all of that. So, you know, one of my things I always say when I bring on other podcasters is I listen to a lot of them. And a lot of them I go, that one's not going to stand the test of time. That one's not going to stand the test of time. And when I tune in, I listen to you all, you know, talk and the flow and the format and everything you got going. I'm like, well, this is, they'll last a test of time. And 29 episodes, I think is what you said. It's, I mean, that's more than I see a lot of people manage to put out. So congrats. Mazel tov, whatever you're supposed to say.
Yeah. I was going to say, thanks. We actually really did design it that way. We know that we pick topics each week. We research. We have show notes. We make sure we stay on time. You know, our podcast has been within 3 to 5 minutes of 1 hour for, I think, 28 of the 29 episodes. And that's purposeful.
Mm.
Well, and one of the key aspects of this, we actually, like, had a mid-episode meeting, you know, after we'd done a couple episodes about where we wanted to go on this one and what we're trying to get out of it. Sure, sponsors would be nice, but that's not why we're doing this. And what makes me happiest about this is they're in the three of them are in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and I'm down here in Georgia. So I don't get to see these guys. Even when I was racing a lot, I was only seeing them 4 or 5 times a year, but we're good friends. And this just gives us a really thinly veiled excuse to talk once a week, mm-hmm. So from that aspect, you know, I think that comes across that we do this. And I'd also like to add, in the same way that Ian hated the getting wet with Ian hashtag, Chrissy is not a fan of Just the Tip, but we just won't let.
How it started, and that's how it keeps going. And I have a hat to prove it.
Hey, we're been excited about Just the Tip. Let's
No, but I do love our safety tip. So,
I was going to say, since we are talking to people who don't usually listen to us, we do each week do a end the show with a safety tip, a real live safety tip,
yeah.
Whether it be from racing or how to cook your Thanksgiving turkey without killing yourself.
Pretty much. Or driving, or what you should be doing in your spring car maintenance, or fire extinguishers.
Angle grinder. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all of the above.
Yep.
I am a real safety professional.
Safety professional sounds it sounds like a made up thing, but it's not a made up thing, which is great. That's why I like it.
Yeah.
So it's such a, you know, the camaraderie between you all comes through, bleeds through on everything. You know, you can tell you're great friends. There is a section here. This is going to turn into some rather controlled chaos. So we're going to have to figure out how to do this here. But I do the, I call them my Inside the Actor Studio questions, where I kind of go through and we get to the bottom of who you are as a car person through these questions, I feel. So I think, yeah, this is going to be difficult for me to keep track of all this stuff. So we're going to, man, I never had to do it with so many guests before. So two was hard. While I'm sitting here and vamping, while I pull up my little notebook, so yeah, vamping, not doing a great job of it.
That's all right. We can make fun of Mental's mustache for a few minutes while you vamp.
Do that. I'm very confused.
This, this mustache is majestic. This mustache is a mint condition 86 Monte Carlo SS blasting rat out of there, out of the teat. Mock this mustache. And you know what? And I'm giving you this. My wife stood up, is leaned over the desk, and shaking her head absolutely.
Mental, you need a jean jacket and.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, look, I understand. You have like a whole lifetime in the military where you grow such fantastic facial hair.
Oh, no, no. This is an Air Force tradition. This is mustache march. It dates back to Vietnam. Robin Olds, greatest ace of Vietnam.
I can't stop watching your upper lip. Just keep talking.
Terrible.
I have you found your notebook?
I have. I was just enjoying that. So, it's so true. Shave it. So,
March is almost over, Mental.
That is true.
Vic just laid down the edict that it is gone before our anniversary in April when I'm down racing with tetanus. So, yeah,
good
absolutely.
Idea.
That's fair.
So, I guess we'll go by order of how you all
prettiness?
Introduced yourself. No. Because there's an infinite gap between those who are non-mustached and those who are mustached that we can't bridge because we don't have enough time. The universe will die a heat death first. So we'll go by intro thing here. So let's go with, what is your least favorite – or I'm sorry, what is your favorite car?
My favorite car is probably my NSX or our NSX. It is absolutely brilliant. It is way better than I thought it would be. It's amazing.
It's a 2005, a manual, red, NSX, and it's glorious. It's glorious. It is unlike anything you've ever driven. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing.
Yep.
So it's a mustache, is what you're telling me.
Mm. More fun to ride.
Mm. We didn't do that.
Eventually,
sorry, you're getting an E on this iTunes. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, and I think I'm going to go along with Chris's that I love the NSX. We used to have a Z4M coupe in blue, and it was glorious. I think that's my secondary love, and I think that's totally worth it. I am lusting over old 911s is the other car that I would think is glorious and great, but I haven't driven them to know how terrible they are.
Yeah. So I guess I'm next on the list and I will continue the theme. The only thing that really makes my pants tight in the automotive world time and time again is modern NSX, modern 911s. I like old 911s, but I would never be caught dead owning one. But, you know, a last generation GT3 is just too sexy. It's got to have a 5-speed, so I won't get the current generation. Not that I could afford any of them, so I'll never have one.
This year, they're putting the 6-speed in the GT3 for 1 year only, and then they're pulling it back out and going back with the SMG or the...
Well,
they're going to charge another $20,000 for that, I'm sure.
Exactly.
That's enough. More money.
Let me check the change in my pocket here. Hold on a minute. Nope. Still can't afford it.
And on that, we won't shamelessly pimp our one sponsor on this, but we are actually all driving instructors for a supercar experience company. And when we all end up at the same track, which is rare these days because we're all working, we will almost get into fisticuffs over who gets to get in the new GT3, which is almost as good as the new NSX, which is amazing. So, yeah, we've driven 458s, Huracans, Gallardos, which suck, by the way. F430s. What am I missing, Jeff? Audi V8 R10s.
Yeah,
this is not the question. This is what do you like?
Answer that question, Mental.
Answer the question, Mental.
I've got my favorite car, and it breaks my heart that I don't have it anymore, is the Land Rover Discovery that I bought.
Shut the
Love that. Love that truck. Love that truck. Absolutely love that truck. Wrote and honestly, my wife's giving me a thumbs up as I said it. Wrote an article about how
you
bought that thing.
You can get another one.
Yeah, not the same one.
The same one. It won't. It's not Sandy. It's not that Land Rover.
That hated.
Loved me. Loved me. That loved Vicky. Remember
that. For those of you who don't know us, that was Chris and Chrissy's truck.
Yeah.
And Mental bought it off of Chris and Chrissy just to escape Hurricane Sandy and get home so he could see his wife before he shipped out to wherever the hell he was shipping out to.
As Krakistan.
Yeah.
it was a great truck, and unfortunately it suffered the great head gasket malady, you know, in 80 miles from Wahoo, Nebraska, when I was trying to sneak home after a deployment. Just worst possible time, place that it could have happened. It was a great truck, though. Worth what I paid for it at twice the price. And we literally drove that thing all the way across the country and back again. It was a great truck. I loved it. Vicky still goes on Craigslist and looks at Land at discos, at 99 discos, but she knows it won't be the same.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, that's hilarious.
Land Rovers are the only cars that make me car sick. So there's that.
Get out, really?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's like I can't
air
be in
suspension.
The back of a Land
Rover. Air suspension.
But it's the command seating, too. You're sitting up so high, it's a little different. You get altitude sickness.
I was doing a review on one, and I was supposed to be in the back and be all playful, and we had to end up cutting most of it because I was getting green. I was like, I'm going to puke out here. So that's good for Land Rover, I guess.
I keep us on target. What's our time right now? Because we're not watching.
Yeah, it's 25 minutes. I'll let you know. I'll just cut it off.
Yeah. We're totally going to keep yapping away then. Good. Uh-huh.
So what is your least favorite car?
The Hyundai Tucson.
Oh, my God! I was going to say the same thing!
I will not say
No one has ever bought a Hyundai Tucson who cares about cars in any way, shape, or form.
All right. By the time you get to me, I'm going to have another answer.
I'm going to go with the Kia Rio.
That was pretty bad.
Hyundai Santa Fe.
Oh.
Hey, I had one of those. It was awesome.
No, it wasn't.
All right. Nissan Altima. I first got exposed to this car when I was in the Middle East. We had them as our rental fleet cars, and it had the CVT transmission. I wrote a review on it for the Truth About Cars, and my thing was, I've met teenage One Direction fans who were more capable of making a decision than that damn transmission. It was god awful. And then I drove a next generation one in Houston when I went down for a race. I flew down there for a World Racing League race, and oh my god, they made it worse. It was just,
CVTs are just terrible. They don't last.
Nissan has lost their way. Remember Nissan in like the mid early 90s? They made so much cool stuff.
They did.
You know, now it's all terrible. Yeah.
Let me mention really quickly that, you know, I do bash CVTs. I think they are the most worst possible evil thing. I'm upset I didn't pick something with a CVT for my worst car.
Jeep Liberty, remember the rental I had in New Jersey a couple of years ago?
Wait a second, Mental. My wife... 2015 Forester has a CVT, and I don't like driving it. I don't like the feel. But it runs great and gets fantastic gas mileage. Way better gas mileage than it should ever get by the weight and the all-wheel drive on that thing.
My dad's Accord has a CVT that's actually not tragic. I think, like most things Honda, they kind of figured out a way to make it okay.
Not bad.
The one is not tragic either, and we're approaching 100,000 miles without a stitch of problems with it. Yeah,
and
in 2 years.
That's saying something, because that's your car, and not having a stitch of problems in one of your cars.
It's
not
a car.
He hasn't had any problems with the transmission.
Anyway, I hijacked. Give us the next question.
It's going to happen again, though.
Yeah, that's fine. It happens on this show. What modification, maybe not that you want to do to your own vehicle, but you look at and go, I like that. It turns you on either creatively or emotionally.
Bokozuku.
Eric already beat you to that one.
I know, but he's right.
He's right.
It's just fun. Mm. Like, those guys are just having fun with cars.
I thought you were going to say Dodgy Van.
Oh, that's a good one.
Love the Dodgy Van.
I do love the Dodgy Van. I'm changing my answer to Dodgy Ben. Okay, yeah, thanks.
Explain it, because everyone might not know that.
In Japan, they have a bunch of old Air Force Dodge vans that were sold off into the market. And obviously, these make no sense in Japan. So, but these gearheads get them, and they slam them on, like, the Watanabe wheels and stick the oil cooler out the front. And then they go run them on road courses in these Dodge vans. And it's...
They're not 318s. They're like the Pentastar V6s because it's Air Force base level vinyl interior stuff.
Yeah, and they run the piss out of them. They run hard.
Yes.
And that's the whole point. It's fun with cars.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. All right.
Christy.
I know. I'm actually now concerned about my answer because of... What was the question?
What modification trend do you find yourself, maybe not that you want to do to your own vehicle, but you find yourself, like, attracted to or, like, that kind of looks cool? Like,
so my answer was going to be a suspension mod, but now that I have a Dodgy van and everybody's like a Bokuzuku, I don't even know. Skip me. I was like suspension. I like
what kind of suspension mod?
We've had that before, like
standard like ponies, flush, or...
like ponies, right?
Oh, just ponies.
you are a function over form suspension modder, right? You don't do it to look good.
This is like guilty pleasure automotive modification, like thing that you don't want to admit that you like.
He said it. She said it. It's a slammed Mazda 3 on RX-8 wheels, bulging out the fender wells.
With a 2.5 and a 6-speed swap and speed 3 brakes. And...
Yeah, my car. Can I just say that? My car?
I guess.
213,000 miles.
That works for me.
It's a big block. It's a big block, yo.
Yeah.
That's my answer. I don't have a good, better answer. Go ahead, Jeff.
All right. So, I spend an inordinate amount of time on YouTube on dipyourcar.com.
What is that?
Is it
like Plasti Dip?
Plasti Dip. It's
a lot of flat dip ball
caps.
It's a lot of flat dip
ball caps. I want a Plasti Dip, my daily driver. Every day a different color.
Jeff, what is your favorite? Right, yeah, what's your favorite vape flavor?
How tight are your jeans?
it's a guilty pleasure. I wouldn't actually do it to my car.
You're kidding me. I'm watching the video right now.
I'm like watching, going, ooh, they're like doing 3 coats: antique gold over pearlized white. Those wheels look slamming. I'm like getting excited by it.
Hey, Jeff, you lost me down in Caresville about one code ago.
I can't help it.
It's like PBS meets Gearhead television.
Fonzie from dipyourcar.com, yo. He can spray dip like you would. His technique is flawless. The colors he makes, they're like amazing.
We're all making fun of him, and we all know we're looking at that website before we go to bed tonight. So,
I know, I'm looking at it right now.
DaveCarter.com. Yeah, I'm totally there. Yeah.
Go, mental talk.
So this is literally, it's going to surprise no one that knows me. My favorite car thing that I would not do is I love the lowrider culture. I love the attention to detail. I love how they get into the airbrushing, all the pinstriping on that. There was a movie that came out a couple of years ago called Lowriders. It only showed it like art cinemas and stuff like that. So my wife and I went and saw it.
And you paid money to go to a place to see this?
Loved it.
No, it was on HBO for a while.
No, we went and saw it in the theater. We paid money to go see it in the theater, and we ended up meeting with this guy, Freddie Hot Rod Quinteros, and you can find him on Instagram at Hot Rod Freddie.
So, and what?
Yeah. See, the youngest of us is the most internet illusionist. Anyway, Hot Rod Freddie. So, Hot Rod Freddie's got a 73 Bubbleback Impala that it is literally one of those never finished kind of projects, even though it's a national award winner. And I love the detail to it. And the thing about lowrider culture, it's a very inclusive culture. Yeah. It's a very family-oriented culture.
Their clubs are like family. It's amazing.
They do. You go to the picnics. They get the kids running around. And it goes back to what Chris was just saying. It's fun with cars. They are taking their passion for cars. And if you follow Hot Rod Freddy on Instagram, it's always a picture of him and his kids and his wife. And it's a picture of his car. And it is just this whole positive vibe that comes out of that whole culture. And I love it. I love reading the magazines. And I would never do it because it's not performance oriented. But I love seeing it. I love going to the shows. I love walking around there. I love talking to the people. Jeff, you've got something on it.
Yeah, I'm going to just jump in here really quick, Ike, to say that for your listeners who don't listen to us, this really is what Everyone Racers is all about. Like, we are car guys. And I know this is going to ruin a question that's coming up, but I don't care. Car people.
Yeah, there you
car
go.
People,
fix that.
Car people who don't have negative feelings. If you're wrenching on your car, if you're painting it, if you're doing something with it, as long as you're enjoying your car different than it rolled off the assembly line, you're my friend.
Or even if like you're restoring it. You're like one of those old school restoring guys. Yeah.
Unless you're a bro-dozer.
Yeah.
We'd like you because we want to make fun of you.
Well, no, we just want to borrow your truck and put smaller wheels on it to tow the races.
I think Ike wanted to see something.
Sorry, Ike.
That's fine. Well, I was just saying, you bring it up. It's weird when people actually listen to the show before they come on it, because then they know what's coming up here. But what is the modification trend you never want to, like, you look at it and go, I don't understand that at all. Like you're saying, we're all car people here. We all get it. But there's some stuff we look at and go, I just don't get why you do that.
I'm going to start because I can see the other ones contemplating.
No, I know my answer. You just like to jump in. So if I'm mental, I'll say, well, and then I'll give an answer. And sorry, you can go.
No. You totally busted me, and you're 100% right. Go for it.
I'm going to say the ridiculous camber, like the 20 degrees of camber. Yeah, but all it does is make your car worse in every single possible way. Like, mm-hmm. You could have a car that's just as low, just as slow, loud, and banging as you want, but you can have 5 degrees of camber and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. There was a thread years ago on one of those forums of a guy who bought an S2000 in San Francisco, drove it back to, like, Seattle, and was bragging that he had to put 3 sets of tires on the car to get it there because his camber was so ridiculous it was chewing through his sidewalls.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go the same route with the tire. I guess the tires. I mean, the camber is there, but when you have the stretched tires, I think mm-hmm. that's what I'm going to go with.
The stretch, yeah.
Just stretch because you have – and you look at the wheels and that you're like, the tire doesn't even fit actually on that wheel. And you say – you like talk about cupping. You're saying like you have – you're only using like a – third of the tire that's on there, and then you're just going to replace them just because.
Hey, so. Yo, I fit 185s on my 15x10s, yo.
My friend Justin says that he's going to start a trend where they put motorcycle tires on car wheels so that you can flip them over and actually get like another 100 miles out of them before you wear out the sidewalls.
It's a good idea, definitely. Mm-hmm. I none of us understand the drift, though, hella flush, hella tight. thing, but
I love drifting.
Yeah, no, I don't mean drift. No, I'm sorry. The hella flush thing, but I work at a college and I hang out with people much younger than me, and some of them are in that community, and I look at it and I say, I don't get it. But I'm going to go a different route here, and it's going to be, I really tried to get into drag racing. And I couldn't get into it. I mean, I liked it. It's fun, but like, it's so much not my style. So I'm gonna say drag racing because I already got the hella flush stolen from me. Good one.
Go to a Top Fuel race and stand next to the track with one of those nitro Top Fuel things and feel the shockwave go through your body. That is a different.
And that might be. I've been to a lot of like street days, and it's like, and like bracket drag, and I'm like,
oh, bracket is fun to do, boring to watch. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm falling asleep, and then I went down the quarter mile a couple of times, and I was like, this is not thrilling. That's my answer.
You're going in a straight line for 5 seconds. Woohoo!
Yeah. My joke is always, I tried drag racing, but they got mad at me for taking turn one too fast. So they wouldn't let me come back.
Like that, we use that.
My thing is I hate any modification you do to your car that is non-functional, but is designed to mock a functional one. Back in the day, when it used to be the Spike Network, and they have which is basically now 3 hours of commercials for Lincoln Tech the disguised as how-to shows. There was one of those modification shows where they had a product representative from some company that was showing you how to put a rally-style roof scoop on your car that was completely non-functional. And the guy is talking about it, about how, we put this double-sided
tape.
Just glued it on. And my thing is if you're going to do a mod to alter the appearance of your car, and that goes all the way down to the Pep Boys stick-on fake Buick portals on your front fenders, go for it. Chrome fender liners, go for it. Anything you want to do to make your car look different from a purely appearance standpoint may not be my bag, but go for it. But if you're adding something on your car to make it look like something that is a functional item on a race car, why don't you just get the functional item?
I'm changing my answer, Menthol. The other day I saw because I'm believing with you, I saw a guy that on his – I'm sure it was a Civic. Sorry, Chris. He had as like where his toe hitch would be, like the big round, almost figure eight shaped toe hook.
Oh yeah,
like race toe hook.
Yeah, you gotta get pulled out of the wall that way.
And he also had right next to his license plate, like a cutoff switch. And I was like,
reached
this
over
is wrong.
And shut it off.
I'm so sure it's not connected to anything, or else I would have. So fake race stuff on your daily. That's terrible.
Good call.
That's my
good
answer. Call. I'm changing it.
Okay, so that brings us to the next question: is what car do you dread
and
to be?
What's our time back? I'm sorry,
nobody cares. Mental. Shut up.
Shut up.
We're having a great time.
Yeah.
We are having a great time.
Well, Mike, I remember. Listen, you remind everyone about the time that just tells them that it's that much closer to being over. Come on now.
You got me.
There you go.
Nailed it.
He just doesn't want to be
all night
here.
For you. Go.
He just doesn't want to be here. I get what it is. Like, we don't need you. We don't need
He's
your mustache.
He's very busy.
Yeah.
I'm growing a mustache. It takes effort.
I see that. Yep. So what is the car you dread being stuck behind at a red light?
This is an easy answer. It's the Hyundai Tucson. Again. Yeah. They're not going anywhere in a hurry. You know that.
Mm-hmm. You know, for a very similar reason, I hate CRVs. I'm just going to point that out.
But at least if you chose the CRV over the Tucson, that means you actually tried
about
to
it.
Pick the best choice in that segment.
Mm-hmm. You're like, I actually think about cars.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you're going to actually
choose that,
buy a small SUV and you care and you have like any personality at all, you're going to buy a CR-V or a Mazda CX-5, probably a CX-5.
CX-5.
Right.
Hashtag.
When you don't.
SUV.
Right. When you don't, that's when you show up at the Hyundai dealer and you fall prey to their, it almost as bad as the Kia dealer's ridiculously awful dealer tactics. And
$99 a month!
Right.
Where's your Tuber Mockery? You don't have a Tuber Mockery.
It's almost as bad as a Mitsubishi Outlander, or any Mitsubishi, really. But
an Outlander.
You know, the Hyundai Tucson still remains my answer. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to go with the car that you've watched for the last... You've been behind them, then they moved up to the other lane, then moved to the other lane. They probably have a sticker that says, I have a honor student that is great, and probably have something that says Salt Life on it.
Oh.
Salt Life.
They
salt
are.
Life.
Oh, you're speaking my language. Yes.
Oh, okay. So I'm not even going to tell you the car make. It's going to be the car. It's probably white or.
Silver.
There you go.
Silver.
Right? Mm-hmm. White or silver. It probably has another sticker that says I love my cat. or my Bichon.
No,
my Bichon.
No, that's not what it is. It's not a Bichon because that's not uppity enough. It's who saved who with a picture of a dog.
Yep. Who rescued who? Yes. Okay.
All right. So I could go on, but that's my answer.
All right.
I am always so tempted to those salt lice. I want to take the A.
Oh, no, we're doing this.
Oh, we're doing it.
We're doing this.
I want to take the A, turn it into a U,
oh,
and then swap the L over so it says slut life.
We've been working on cutting this in vinyl for like a year and a half now. We've already found the closest font we can. We've already planned it out. Like, it's done.
But you have spent like hours on this.
Yeah. You could do the stickers that are on the car with a razor blade in 5 minutes, and you could—they would drive around on their SUV with little Dakota in the back with "Slut Life" on the back of their SUV, and they'd never know.
And I love it when it's in like Illinois, because you know they're really all about saltwater shark fishing, right?
You're from Illinois, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, and I see those. I saw those back home, and I was like, I don't under. It's those and Confederate flags. Like, you know, this is still
right?
you have the Land of Lincoln license plate, and then you have the Confederate flag, and I'm like, someone is very confused.
All right, so to focus us back, which I do frequently, especially when Mental's on the podcast, the person I don't want to be stuck behind is the Brodozer.
Mm.
I made a face when Chris picked it as a bad car that somebody doesn't get, because I understand why you want your Ford F-150 on 38s. But I'm sure as hell not. I don't want to be behind you, rolling coal, whatever the hell it is you're doing. Your control arms are about to explode. You don't see me. I really want to go faster than you. I hate the Brodozer. I will always be in the other lane.
Mm-hmm. All right, last one.
So there's a growing – what's interesting about the new EV or hybrid culture is it's been around long enough to where they're kind of starting to develop. There's the true EVs and the hypermilers, and then there's the posers. And the posers, even though it is a brilliant car that has really started to kind of build its own culture, the Prius, Nissan Leaf people are hardcore EV people. So they love
EVs.
Tesla people are Tesla people. And there's some interesting stuff up there, but I've got three teachers at my high school that drive EVs, and they will sit there and rant and rave about how they get 40 miles per the gallon. And I look at them, I'm like, yeah, but you paid $45,000 for that car, and my $5,000 Mercedes gets 23 miles per the gallon, and I will literally sit there and just boil my tires next to you at a stoplight to make you feel bad about what I'm doing to the environment.
I want
to
hear you. Yeah, you can hear me hurting the environment.
Wait, I got it worse.
I hate pretentious Prius owners.
Worse than that is the Lexus, whatever the hell that thing is, CT, 200 CT. I paid $3,000 for my Lexus.
Yes. Yeah. And I could have gotten a Prius. And I test drove a Prius at a family car challenge put on by the Greater Atlanta Automotive Media Association. And honestly, the Prius people have gotten serious about their own culture. But because of that, they've got posers in now. And I hate Prius posers. And I don't want to be behind them at a stoplight.
Prius posers is a new band coming out somewhere. I know that.
You just named them. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
The problem is that it's going to be like really, really shitty techno. It's gonna, like, it's gonna sound like the door buzzer. It's gonna be like deep, deep, deep.
Like one of those industrial noise bands that Phil used to be in.
It's gonna sound like Prius's fucking. That's what it's gonna sound like.
Exactly. Yeah. It's probably
Which is suspiciously quiet, actually.
Mm-hmm. is this ABBA? No, this is Prius's fucking. Oh.
Prius fucking is the name of my new techno band.
But it's spelled with a PH. Alliteration, it's important.
Right. Mm-hmm. You got an E automatically. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's. So this one, I'm going to give you, if you've heard the show, you know what's coming next. I'm going to give you a choice between two cars. We'll go back in order again. And you got to pick which one you got to keep the mods to give on the vehicle for the rest of your life. This is your new daily driver, so you got to live with it.
All right.
So first one up is you have a choice between a NSX. I'll let you pick whatever generation you want. but it's got absolutely ridiculous camber, or a Hyundai Tucson, but it's been done up as a Dodge van.
Nice. Oh my!
It's still the NSX. It's fundamentally it's brilliant, and I could fix it.
No, you're not allowed to fix it. You got to keep it.
You have to roll it.
You just it's have still, to put tires on
you
it.
You have to roll it on stretch.
That's still better.
2-inch wide, you can't, 205.
Yep.
That's still better than any version of the Hyundai Tucson. Because you can't even make a Hyundai Tucson as cool as the Dodge van, no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. It can't be done. Mm-hmm. I'll go to Walmart. I'll get my Douglas Extra Tracks to stretch on my NSX. They're $45 each. It's okay.
Back up with the Wagner Organic Power Stop.
Right there.
They're made of wood.
This is my game, so I get to do this. Pirelli P1s, super expensive tires.
Oh no!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Michelin Pilot Sports.
We don't have that kind of money.
Uh-huh. Hey, you know what? Now I work at home 2 days a week, and my other 3 days when I commute, it's 12 miles each way. I'm okay. It's fine.
I can't take it ever because I do 60 miles a day, so I guess I can't take it if we're on that kind of budget.
Go back to the NSX. Got it.
I'm going. Do I get a different question?
Different question. You get the same thing, an NSX, any generation you want with the ridiculous camber. Or you get a Kia Rio, but it's got the absolute perfect suspension setup.
Ooh. That's a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, Ike. You put some research into this. Mm-hmm.
Well, if Chris...
He listened for the last 45 minutes. That's as bad as they took some notes.
Well, if...
It's hard for you, Michael. I know. Listening for 45 minutes in a row, it's a tough one.
If he has the NSX, then I can take the Kia Rio that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Then I can drive both. I mean,
I know you. The answer is Kia.
Mm-hmm. I might go with the Kia Rio. Like, a great suspension setup. I can deal with all the rest of the crap that isn't. I could just drift it everywhere and be like,
oh, there it is.
Yeah. If it's sitting low and nice and might not be so bad.
Yep.
And I've ridden with Chrissy in rush hour traffic. And folks, I'm going to tell you, Chrissy is a old school hardcore Road, or rather rush hour traffic.
Where are you going with this?
No. Seriously, you drove me to the airport. How many times you dropped me off the airport? And you know how to handle traffic. And yes, and what you would do with that Kia Rio to embarrass so many people and other much better cars. And then you would do it while waving and smiling at them. Yes,
sure.
You're not as good as I am. Suck
it. I drive 36 miles one way. In solid traffic the whole way.
Mad
I drive
skill.
Mazda 3 standard. I clutch all the way. I clutch for like the whole time. And, yeah.
The surface of that highway, which is shall be known as 422, sucks. relief map of the Andes Mountains. There are so many like potholes. I mean, just it's the worst surface on the planet. It looks kind of like the moon.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. I'll go with Kia.
All right, I think that's the right answer. So first right answer of the day.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry, Chris.
I'm ready for my Sophie's choice.
All right, you get a brand new 911 GT3.
Done.
But
the
other one is.
It is. It is, you got a twofer since you gave me two answers. It's set up for drag racing, and it is covered in ridiculous Pep Boys automotive, like, hood vents all over it. Or you get a Hyundai Santa Fe, but it is plasti-dipped every day by your idol over at dipmycar.com. He comes over and goes...
No, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm taking the 911. Taking the 911.
I'm stealing it from you.
There's one reason. The Santa Fe does not have a standard transmission. I will not drive an automatic anywhere.
Mm.
Except your truck, but...
I don't drive that ever, so...
And your RV.
Mm-hmm. I do kind of want to see a GT3 just covered in all sorts of fake hood vents. I think that would be hilarious.
No, you don't understand. If I got a 911, I might go get the spinny hubcaps and glue on everything I could get at the Pep Boys. I want
it,
like the
it was
I want
free.
the I want the naked lady mud flaps on my 911. I want the red dice tire valve caps. I want the shaped antenna. I want it all.
All right. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Another right answer, I think. All right, that puts it in the let's see.
So, I'm a little frightened, Dyke. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, your first one is a Nissan Altima, but it's been done up as a low rider. So it's got, you know, like the amazingly done low rider. We'll go like full blown with like the hood paint and everything, candy coat.
Oh, yes. Voluptuous, scantily clad.
Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Brown.
Yeah.
Deep brown, gold flake.
Mm-hmm. All
Dayton's.
Over it.
Yep. Dayton's.
You gotta be rolling on dates, yo.
Or you get we go out and we find your beloved Land Rover, the one that you had to get rid of, and it is done up perfectly. Everything is mechanically fixed in it, which is, I know, a big thing for Land Rovers.
Everything wasn't mechanically fixed on it when you got it,
or when I got it.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did it dump about a half a gallon of water on you when you turned left?
No, I fixed that before I sold it to
you. No, you did not.
Chris fixed everything. That car was perfect when it rolled out at Burns.
Not perfect.
It was for me. All right, so, but what have you done to the precious Sandy?
So it is now covered in everything from Pep Boys. I mean, every little crappy little thing.
All the things Jeff just said.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
And you have to tell everyone they're real. So if ever anyone comes up to you and says, "Is that a real hood vent?" you have to go, "Yeah, but it's held on by double sided tape, but it's real."
You had me right up until that last qualification,
mm-hmm.
And and here's the thing: is I'm loud and I'm obnoxious, but everything I've ever done in my life is because I am enthusiastic and I am honest. So I'm gonna have to go with the lowrider Altima.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I think that's another right choice. I don't think a Land Rover Discovery is ever the right choice. So 3 for 4. So congratulations, everyone.
You never experienced Sandy.
Drive this one. I tell you, this thing was locked up.
It had a good personality, that truck.
Mm-hmm. A lot of personality.
Oh man. So
Shut up, Mental.
What wore me out was we need a new battery desperately in the wife's Escape. Yeah, that's like a 20-minute job. Flash forward an hour. Like, what is going on? Why do I have to take off, like, the hood cowl to get to this damn battery? So,
Because Ford Escape.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're swapping a straight six into a Volvo wagon. And, by the way, I'm totally not kidding when I said I'll be your co-pilot for the Great Lakes Mistake. But you, as a gearhead, should know, take every repair estimate, quadruple it, and then add 30 minutes for cleanup.
See, I do know that, but I looked at it and went, it's a Ford Escape. How hard could it be? So, and then I learned my lesson. This is the same car where you have to take off basically the wheel and like everything behind the wheel to replace one fog light, which is just crazy to me. So,
Chrissy's dad has a Ford Escape, and he is doing an experiment into neglect-based automotive ownership.
This is serious.
Yes, he read
it's actually serious.
Yeah. He his last time he changed the oil, it's because we asked him if he needed it. He said, "I don't know." And I looked at the tape. We'd written on the bottom of the filter when the last time was that it was 15,000 miles previously. He's like, "I guess I should do that." The running board recently just fell off while he was driving. It has 190,000 miles on it, and despite complete neglect in every way, it still is running.
We don't think they've done the transmission fluid.
Never.
Lifetime
fill.
They haven't done it.
It's like BMW says, except it's still going. We don't know how.
What year is it?
05.
Oh, that's an older one, too. Yeah.
This is a kind of a thing in a Chrissy's family. They are the most thoughtful, generous people. They loaned this to Chris's mom when her beloved BMW wagon got totaled. And she drove it until she sent her new car. But it was so bad, she made Chris and Chrissy drive her back to Massachusetts and drive this Ford Escape home because
that's
she wasn't going to do it.
No.
It was pretty bad, but we said we would do it for her. When given the option of...
You offered.
I can drive my new CX-5 there and back, and then you will come back with me and take this Escape home?
It worked.
That was way better than drive the Escape down and take the train home. So.
No, that was hard.
I understand. I'd like to add here...
That's how bad the Escape.
Before we go too far, I'd like to add here two things to my 911 GT3, a neon kit and whistle fits.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Okay,
good. I think
underlights?
You have a neon kit in your Miata right now.
I do, yes.
The underlights are going on Chris's pimped out NSX.
There's no room. They literally would just be, you can't jack up that car. It's stuck to the ground at all times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and truck nuts. I need truck nuts.
You're not allowed to have them.
I'm just picturing, like, that's how you know the wheelie bar is going to engage when you're going down the drag strip, is it just picks up and the truck nuts drag.
Yeah. They drag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not a wheelie bar so much as it is just truck nuts. all right, so... So I think we have a better understanding of who you all are as a car personalities. I think we all get along a lot better because of it. So I got two final questions here, and these weren't the prepared questions, so I hope you had time to sit and think about these because I do think they are super important, and I think that they are perhaps the most important questions that really can be asked on any interview program. So again, we'll go in order of this, but what is the hardest food to eat while driving?
Mm. I'm right. Prepared for this.
Mm. Well, if we need to go out of order, we can go out of order. If you need a moment to
think.
No, let's go backwards order.
Okay, go backwards order.
So, again, I'm a fan of the show, so I listen. And Eric was talking about McDonald's hamburgers last week. And here's the thing. Leave the wrapper halfway on until you get to the last couple of bites. That holds on to the mustard and the ketchup and that evasive pickle. Mm-hmm. The hardest food to eat is the – and I do a lot of traveling on the road, and I try to eat very healthy, but I've got two guilty pleasures, and one of them is – the Taco Bell Doritos Locos Tacos.
Love Doritos Locos. Get it supreme.
How did you not think of making Doritos a taco shell 20 years ago? So
They weren't high enough.
Okay, yeah, legalization of marijuana probably played a part in that one. I'm going to go with – and the reason, because the Doritos Locos come in a special paper kind of covering, so you can't do the bit where you pull the wrapper back and just eat it as you go. And as good as they are, the first bite shatters the entire taco.
The Doritos taco shell is 80% thinner than the regular taco shell. It was definitely made by, like, Colin Chapman, who was like, it has to be lighter.
So you end up like grabbing the three fingers of food and just kind of shoveling into your mouth, and no matter what you're wearing lettuce and shredded cheese and ground beef while you're driving that in the car. Because it's a two-handed operation, so you're driving with your knees. And I know that makes Chrissy not sleep at night because she's a safety professional, but Doritos Locos Tacos.
Okay, good answer, but you're wrong. answer.
I'm glad you said it, so I didn't have to.
Yeah. The correct answer is half gallon of lemonade from Wawa in the cardboard like thing where you have to like it's like open and then fold it back.
Little paper, and it's shredding in your mouth.
Because you're shifting with your right hand, you're driving with your knee. And your left hand has to hold up the square container, and any pressure you put on your lips just changes the shape of the milk carton-like device that the half gallon of Wawa lemonade is held in, and it just immediately spills on your entire lap.
Well, there's two, and Jeff sounds like both speaks from experience. So, Chrissy, how about you?
You guys are going to kill me on the road someday, just so you know. I am, as I said, safety professional. I think this is ridiculous. I eat one thing while I'm on the road ever, and that is a tiny snack of almonds and craisins. That's all I eat while I'm driving. And I'm very safe about it because I do it all in traffic. I'm going about 2 miles an hour. I eat one craisin and one almond.
And I never never vacuum any craisins or almonds from under the seat.
Everywhere.
And that is why you don't get to take the AMG to work. I suddenly understand.
The AMG all the time.
There are craisins and almonds in the NSX, in the Mercedes, and my car. I think doing anything while driving is super unsafe. I do not do it, except for my one snack. That's my stance. Yes.
A non-answer. Another incorrect answer, Chris. Yeah. What do you got?
The hardest food to eat while driving? Fondue.
No! Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
Where do you put the pot? Where do you plug it in? You know, it's just going to drip on stuff.
And don't forget the candle underneath that's keeping it melted.
Oh, yeah. No, you plug in the pot. We have like a thing that's electric.
You can't run the electric one. You don't have 110 in the car. You have to give the sterno.
Well, sternos are good in the car. That's a good choice.
Sterno in the car.
He had 110 in the Land Rover. When he sold me the Land Rover, he had 110. I still have that converter, and one day it's going in the RV.
We have a converter.
Mm-hmm. So this typically boils down to stupid shit I've done in cars, right? And I got to say, fondue, I think, might be the new,
did we just lose Ike?
No, it's, can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Yep, gotcha now.
We're back.
Okay, so, again, this kind of typically boils down to stupid shit I've done in vehicles. And I'm sitting here going, like, first of all, I think that's the new leader in the clubhouse, fondue. So, congratulations on that one. So... I have never tried actual fondue, but I have done fondue, put it in a cup, and then brought along some stuff to dip into it, like pretzels and crap, like on the trip. And that's difficult enough, and I can't imagine trying to do it properly with an actual 110 converter in the Escape. So that's the new leader in the clubhouse. So it's fondue, and then we got we got matzo ball soup. So that's a, and then. Yeah, that's a pretty good one, and I forgot what was number three, but we'll get back to that one. I need to actually come out with a whole list of this. So congratulations, mm-hmm. You know, you're making up for your shitty NSX love.
thank you.
We wanted to address the makeup question because we feel like after Eric Rude answered Juggalo makeup, that you should retire that question.
You know, I'm tempted to, but it's. The more I think about it, the Juggalo thing, like there's like a whole that's like face paint basically. So that's like clown makeup, you know, going to somewhere.
Oh,
so.
No,
I'm sorry, but
it's
like don't.
It's so much more than face paint. It's a lifestyle.
I'm sorry, but like, aren't many women? Don't they just have face paint?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like putting on like blush, putting on, you know, the.
Oh no, but like some of them do like whole faces. Like you can see the cutoff. Of said face, right? You can see, right? It goes right around, like their cheekbones. You can see where it stops. So
I'm saying right around here, as if anyone on the podcast can see me on the sky.
That's what I'm saying. Like you're going.
Madness. How do they work?
Yeah. See, I don't know. Maybe I should. Let's go. Can anyone think of anything that beats Juggalo makeup? I'm just saying.
I actually do have an answer for this, and it's not exactly makeup.
Oh, me too.
But I just want to mention that it is very difficult. To wind your 1970s Seiko watch and reset the time and date while you're driving, and I might
at 85 miles an hour down the New Atlantic City Expressway.
I
thought you'd slow down.
While I'm eating a Doritos Locos Taco.
for those of you who don't know old Seikos, you can't wind them with the wheel. You have to shake them. So you typically either like hold them in your hand and shake it like a maraca, or it's on your wrist.
Jeff was doing right now.
What?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. In the car, you either shake it like a maraca, or you make it like you're watching Pornhub.
That what you call it?
Okay. If it's on your wrist, you basically have to do this. So I'm saying right now, that's the hardest thing to do while driving because then you have to set the date.
Jeff has a new Pornhub search and is no longer it's no longer Toe Pig Fest. Okay. It's now shake your Seiko.
All right, I guess I have no answer for that anymore. I had one ready to go, but I'm not even going to give it.
Well, now I feel like you're neglecting all of us. We must know what is the answer.
It pales in comparison. But I was thinking, if there are any Simpsons fans around, remember the makeup gun that Homer made? That would be hard to do while driving, right? Just getting it into not interfering with the steering wheel. That's a shame.
Because it was a double shotgun, and it's going to get stuck in the steering wheel if you have.
Yeah.
That's legit. That's legit.
Good answer.
That is a good answer. Yes. that's everyone races, I guess. So tell everyone where they can go if they need more of this controlled chaos in their life. Where do they go to find out more about y'all?
All right, so you can find us on Facebook at Everyone Racers. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at everyone.racers. If you think we are terrible people, you can email us at everyone.racers@gmail.com. And also, like our racing team, the Three Pedal Mafia, also on Facebook. I am at Mental Ward, M3NTAL Ward, all one word, on Instagram and Twitter. Jeff, I know you're on at least.
I'm on nothing.
You're
on Facebook. And the most important thing is download us wherever you get your podcast. We're on iTunes. We're on every Android app you got out there. It's Everyone Racers. We upload right around 9 o'clock-ish on Wednesday.
Hello, John.
We're coming up on 30 episodes. I mean, we don't. If you're a new listener and you're going to start listening, start at like episode 10 or so, because we really learned how we're doing things
and
before
we're
then.
And we're usually not drunk after that point.
No, we're like, well, only unless sometimes. You listen to live episodes.
Live episodes we are.
It says live, yeah, we're hammered. Mm-hmm. But we don't try.
But we have shaky dogs, though. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, according to the iTunes, the best of the podcasts are episodes 24 and 27. So,
I wonder what the...
I think those are both the Eric Rude episodes.
Well, one is JG of Grassroots Motorsports.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, yeah. And we love JG. He's awesome.
That was our, by far, the most professional episode we did.
We're not nearly as funny
on our
one.
Best behavior.
At all. Mm-hmm.
It was a great episode, but we were on our best behavior, certainly.
So 25 would have been...
24. Trailer Tales of Woe.
Trailer Tales.
Don't be like us, kids.
Yeah, you could do stupid stuff that we did in trailering as opposed to the fire episode where you can't do the stupid stuff that we've done.
Or you would die.
Or you will die. Yeah.
No problem.
I'm sorry that we like completely dominated all of this show.
I'm not.
I mean, sorry, not sorry.
this is what you get with us.
No, yeah. and you and I have been talking on Twitter now for an extended period of time, and it honestly, this is a great show, and this is what I love about the new leveling of social media, is it's instead of being dominated by a profit motive, it's dominated by people who genuinely get excited about this kind of nerdy level of stuff. And everyone should go to rightfootdown.com and start checking out those reviews, because it's done by people who give a crap. They're not doing it because they're getting a paycheck. They're not doing it because they want to get invited on the next press trip. They're doing it because they're car nerds. And I'm actually writing a piece right now about car nerds and how you should really trust them because they're the ones who care about cars. And you guys are the absolute example of that. And the shows that you endorse, Team Clear Code, some of the other stuff that's out there, that's how it's done. And so, yeah, if we want this hobby to grow, it's honesty. And I think that's the new driving force behind a lot of this media that the marketing guys can't understand, because you have to be genuine.
This is true. And, I was going to – brain, no worky because sleepy. I literally just hit the wall with there. I was like – oh, that's – and I still got the crap I got to go do. I got to go put a skate back together after this. Good, and I got to be up at 4 a.m. So that's another bit of fun going on here. So, it's a genuine delight having you all on. And it's really, you know, wonderful people, wonderful podcast. You know, that should be your tagline, I guess, on there. You got, you know, wonderful tech tips and all that sort of stuff going for you. And I really do appreciate y'all putting up with kind of the crazy schedule I got going on. So I'll say goodbye to you all off air. So if you got any last words, chime in now. And then for everyone listening, I'll be right back.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Chrissy, you got something?
Oh, no, I was doing Jeff.
Pointing at you. Yeah.
Jeff.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I was just going to say, download us wherever you get your podcast. We are Everyone Racers.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to us after the Untitled Car Show. We'll take that. We're good.
Yeah.
Nah, listen before.
Chrissy,
it's better.
Chrissy, you got a safety tip for us right on the
way out? Chrissy, bust out a safety tip.
On the spot for just a tip.
Chrissy, you had a great one for me via text the other day.
Don't transfer your propane tanks in your car. No, it's more of so here's the thing. Always wear your safety glasses. So whatever you're doing, doesn't matter if you think you shouldn't need them, wear them anyway. That's the answer. It doesn't hurt to wear them all the time of what you're doing with something, because if something flies in your eye, it's going to suck. Just wear your
mask. You don't want to ask them to drill something into your eye, because you have to watch that.
No. Just wear them.
Okay.
Wear your safety glasses. They're cheap and you need them.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right. We'll be right back after the quick break.
Hey there. Danny with Right Foot Down. I messed up this ad read so many times because I really want to tell you about Track Monkey Apparel. They make great quality enthusiast shirts along with hats, stickers, watches, patches, you name it. A couple of my personal favorites are their Life is Better at the Track tee and their One Track Mind tee. You should really check them out and see for yourself. Their products are great for you or the gearhead in your life. Visit trackmonkeyapparel.com.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's program. If you like what you hear, make sure you tell a friend, loved one, coworker. It's the best way to spread the word of the show. You can follow the program at all the social media places by just typing in Untitled Car Show. Typically, all is one word. So thanks, everyone, so much for listening. Have a good night. Have a good evening. Wherever you are, whatever time it is there, thank you so much for listening. Please be safe out there.